it comes to numbers and when it comes to financial figures, there's only one person that we trust. He's a former UJ graduate in economics, and he's our go-to guy whenever we want to find out what's happening in the world of finance. Gladwin Mohumutsi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you guys there in studio?
We are wonderful. We know it is tax season. You have been busy doing a lot of tax returns, making sure that people are tax compliant. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, guys. I missed you guys very much, but, you know, we always listen when we can.
Ah, yes, yes. Yes. Let's jump straight into it. SARB leaves interest rates unchanged. So that means that there's no rate. I'm assuming the, what is it? The
Reserve Bank.
Yeah, the Reserve Bank's monetary fund where they reduce the interest rate is not changing at all. Why?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, they're taking a cautious approach to the rate cut. Now they're taking a cautious approach to certain rates moving forward. You know, targeting that inflation rate. So they are obviously just taking that cautious step and keeping the rate at 7%. So it means obviously 7% is, I mean, like a decade low. So it keeps sort of the pressure off the consumers. And, you know, the Reserve Bank governor also mentioned that we are within the inflation target range. So it's a good stance coming from the Reserve Bank, with and a proactive stance, if I may add.
And I mean, look, it's also a bonus for those who might have vehicle finance that is fluctuating, as well as home loans. So those will remain unchanged and will not be increasing as we enter the silly season.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, that's obviously people were expecting, you know, an ease on the shoulders of the burden, on the shoulders of the consumer. I mean, obviously, the Reserve Bank has already cut the rate by a whopping 300 basis points for this year. Obviously, target the COVID crisis. And moving forward, I mean, the Reserve Bank governor says they do not forecast another rate cut in the next two cycles. So the consumers better brace themselves. Those celebrities, people that are looking to buy property. I mean, it's about to be a bit steeper, so if you can get it before those projected rate cuts, obviously is taking a very cautious approach to how they approach the whole situation. So it will be interesting to see how it turns out moving forward, but with the Reserve Bank governor saying that they do not see another rate cut in the next two cycles, so it means we're possibly going to see an increase in rates.
All right. Well, at least for now, as long as it remains stable, we're all super happy. Our president also came out. Ramaphosa's investment conference secures 109 billion rand in new pledges. Who are these people that are pledging money towards us, and what do they want in return?
Sure.
Obviously, I mean, it was a delegate on Monday, the president. On Wednesday, the president obviously was hosting about at the Sandton Convention Center, a delegate of about 175, a meeting of about 175 delegates and over about 1,700 virtual attendees, obviously investors who are looking to invest in the country. So, I mean, if you remember 2 years ago, the president pledged that in over the next 2 years, he's looking to raise a whopping 1.2 trillion. That's like an equivalent of South Africa's economy GDP amount. So South Africa's fiscal amount. So those. I mean, with the total, he also summed it up and said, I mean, he's sitting at a whopping 773.6 billion, or about 60% of their target, the 5-year target of funds that they've raised. So we're not very clear on who exactly these funders are, but I mean, amongst others was Heineken. Obviously, Heineken was at the earlier this year at the Davos conference, saying that they will continue to invest in South Africa. They will continue to plow, you know, financial backing into South Africa to grow the economy, and it's a commitment that they made with the president. So it'll be interesting to see whether the president will get to that 1.2 trillion amount and how fast he'll get to it, because he obviously allowed himself a five-year term to raise all that money. Yeah.
Now, from your own personal perspective, looking at the financial markets in South Africa, what are some of the things that are pushing investors away from putting money into our economy?
I mean, it's small things, you know. We have sort of kind of stabilized the economic uncertainty. You know, the president is trying to deal with, you know, things that are not controlled, things that are unexpected. He's trying to control that. Obviously, high youth unemployment is, I think, one of the things that you know, scare the investors away. I mean, people who are able to work are supposed to contribute to the economy. Hence, the president is also pushing to kind of, you know, address that problem of unemployment. And, you know, accountability. I think investors are looking for politicians to be accountable. I mean, we can't have politicians overlooking judiciary laws and just walking away. I mean, it means they do not respect the government. They do not respect the law of the government, so they could do as they please. So those are some of the things that, you know, scare our investors away. And, you know, as you saw yesterday, I mean, the former number one just literally walked away. Mm-hmm. Understandably so. I mean, the judge said he's not friends with the president, so why would you tell somebody who's not your friend that you're leaving?
And last week, a major development was the fact that a warrant of arrest was issued against one of the major players of the ANC, being Ace Magashule. Do you think going into this conference, people saw this and said there is change in South Africa and there is some sort of accountability that is happening? You know, obviously we'll have to wait until February next year when he has his next court appearance. But do you think that was almost like a stimulant to show people and give them a bit of confidence when they put money in South Africa?
Definitely. Those are the things that investors want to see. They want to see a fully functional South Africa that is holding people accountable. So offering summons is not just offering summons is a good thing, but we also need to act upon those summons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll see what happens next year when he goes back. But those are some of the things that contribute to South Africa, to people seeing, you know, to people, you know, reinvesting in South Africa. The confidence booster, the business confidence index will obviously push up like ever so slightly, because, I mean, we're seeing people held accountable.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I was watching the broadcast on Friday, and some of the representatives that came out to defend Ace Magashule. Now, don't get me wrong, everybody's innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. But to affiliate yourself with people who had previously been convicted or implicated in corruption doesn't really help your case when you've got guys like Tony Ngeni chanting things saying that Ace will never leave. Guys like Supramo Mapelo, who's been accused of corruption in the Northwest. Most of the people who came forward and were chanting for him aren't really, you know, members of the leading political party who have got their hands clean either.
Definitely. I mean, some of those people were all accused of something, one thing or another.
Absolutely.
So it becomes very, very unsettling for Ace and his case. So, I mean, those are some of the things that the president can put forward as a defense to investors. Mm-hmm. We are acting upon these things. I mean, you can see the crowd that is following this certain person. You know, those are some of the things that, obviously, we also spoke about the IMF. I mean, the IMF will not just give us money and not, you know, follow up on what happens with that money. So those are some of the things that the IMF will be looking to see, that if we plow money into your economy, is there a certain level of accountability? Are you guys going to assure that you're going to pay back the money, and will you be using the money, you know, properly, so that we also can renegotiate the interest rate term?
I mean, of course.
Obviously, yeah, some of the things that the Minister of Finance cited was that we are going to renegotiate the interest rate terms of those loans that we're getting. So if there's accountability and, you know, the Mashonisas are happy, then it means, you know, we can move forward and get, you know, better rates for our loans, yeah.
Of course, because, I mean, in a nutshell, if I've been accused of racism, the last people I would want on my side chanting that I'm not racist is Vicky Momberg, Adam, and the late Penny Sparrow in my corner saying, oh, no, he's not racist. So that's the last people I'd want to be affiliated with. I'd tell them to just shut up and stay as far away from me as possible.
Yeah.
Imagine having Steve Hoffman
there. Oh, no. And then he tells everybody who's from DSTV or Multi Choices channels to leave and not broadcast.
Forgetting that he needs to still watch the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, true, man. All right, let's move on to the market commentary. Good news, Woolworths sales are almost up 4%. This is great news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, people currently are going Michelle.
Yeah, 2% apparently came from Michelle alone.
Yes, with his tin roof ice cream.
Yeah. By the way, it's not tin roof, it's Woolies ice cream. Woolies ice cream is better than tin roof ice cream.
Teach him. Teach him, please. Please teach him.
Thanks for teaching me.
Okay, tell us what's happening with Woolies.
Definitely. I mean, like you said, the Woolies sales are up. I mean, it's obviously, I don't know if people are actually going for those tin roof specials because, I mean, it's been cold and we're avoiding to get cold. But yeah, they say the sales are up 4% over the year. I mean, there's 4% over the past 20 weeks. I mean, an increase of 3.5% as compared to the previous, to the similar period last year, which is a very good indicator of, you know, how, you know, financial, how retailers are actually, you know, converting this crisis into a good thing, which obviously did not translate as good for the Woolworths share price, which was down 3.96% yesterday. So it came in at 38.77 rand. A share price you could look at, Andile, I mean, there's a lot of value in Woolworths. If they are not investing in Australia, they other than that, they have a good business model.
You know, here's something I found very interesting. And I spoke to the manager of my local Woolworths, and she was telling me, by the way, and this is where you shop as well, at Norwood Mall. she was saying to me that when we were entering the first phase of lockdown, those couple of days before we actually went into level 5 lockdown, she was saying that they had met their month's sale targets in a matter of 3 days. In 3 days, they made what they would have made in a whole month. And she says, and on top of that, we made a little bit extra, which just goes to show. But here's the part that I want to find out. How many of these purchases were done on credit? How many of these people have honored their credit payments? And how many of these people are in arrears to see how well the Woolies you know, credit facility is functioning? Because it's one thing to say, oh, sales are great, but the credit repayment is what we're struggling with.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, often, like the way you put it is very technical. I think Google should hire you on the credit demand side so that you balance you reconcile their balance sheet. But yeah, I mean, it would be very interesting to see how those sales translate into actual profits for the company. I mean, naturally, people were panic buying, so most of the sales will obviously shoot up. I mean, when people are sitting at home, They're most likely to eat more. They're most likely to require, you know, toiletries and whatever the case may be. Michelle was also looking at that tin roof special buying 2, 4, 6 coming. You know, so those are some of the things. Obviously, on a balance sheet, it translates as those products coming off the shelf. But how it translates financially, we'll obviously have to see in their financial statements, obviously, at the year end, and see how many of those people that are actually buying are paying, and how many those credits are bad debts, and how many of those credits are also, you know, loan. Because the other thing about credit is that credit is also just double buying. So a person that buys on credit doesn't only pay the 3 rand, they pay the 3 rand plus 50 cents on top. So there's that element too.
Absolutely, because one of Edcon's biggest downfalls was that Edcon had overextended its credit line and had given credit to so many people that when it came to people paying eventually, they had this massive shortfall of you know, credit accounts that were just bad debts where people not paying.
Yeah, they struggled to maintain their credit line. That amongst with that alongside charging people for magazines and that there was that level of dishonesty and then falling short of paying their credit. So those are some of the things that you did that really, really affected.
All right, let's talk indicators. What is the markets looking like this morning?
Okay, financial markets obviously a little jittery as, you know, concerns grow over the coronavirus vaccine. We saw the JSE down 0.9%, coming in at 56,753, with financials down 1.2%, industrials down 0.3%, and gold miners slightly ever so down 2.67%. I mean, some of the gainers for the day, we saw Cartracker Motors, which is a motoring company. So we see people whose car sales are slowly starting to trickle in. Telkom was also among some of the gainers, which was up 3.6% yesterday. So it's interesting. It's interesting to watch the market and how it pans out. Moving over to global markets, obviously those concerns of the stimulus package in the U.S. Making investors a tad bit jittery, with the S&P 500 down 0.09%. Dow Jones was up 0.1%, coming in at 29,483, with the Nasdaq closing in positive territory yesterday. I mean, the Nasdaq is tech stocks. People that invest in tech stocks behave like people that invest in Bitcoin. When something great happens, they all rush to social media and get hyped up. So we saw the Nasdaq up 0.6%, closing at 11,905.
Awesome stuff. What's our COVID numbers looking like?
Yeah, with our COVID update for this morning, now the Eastern Cape is moving ever so slightly higher. I mean, they also yesterday they recorded, daily cases of 1,000 daily cases. So that's a cause to be concerned. With our total active rate down to 36,433, number of total tests sitting at 5.2 million, with daily positivity rate sitting at 10.2%, and our recovery rate well over 90%, coming in at 92.48%. That's it from me, Gladwin Mokgomotsi, signing out.
Gladwin, thank you so much. Always a pleasure chatting to you. Let's hope that the economy keeps doing what the economy does. By the way, this week we also spoke about the fact that there was about 100 million rand that was being invested in temporary jobs for teacher assistance that would be needed between, I think, December and March next year. And this was obviously targeted at specifically the youth. That the president was saying that he wanted to create job opportunities. I think it was about 300,000 employees that they were looking to put on a temporary basis as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we need to get the president needs to get the youth employed. I mean, those people, the youth are the people that are active. The youth are the healthiest. People under 35 still fully functional, and they could push the economy. And their lifespan within an economy is much longer than a person who's, say, 55, 60. So if they're employed and they gain the skill, they easily can give back to the economy in the next 20 years. So the president needs to focus on that. He needs to put more muscles, not just talk, but we need to get the youth in the economy and rolling.
All right. Gladwin, thank you so much for chatting to us. Always a pleasure having you on the show. We'll chat to you next week.
Cheers, guys.
All right, there we go. Yeah, say goodbye to Gladwin. Be polite.
Bye.
Cheers, Gladwin.
Sorry,
bye, guys.
Disappear here. All right, cheers. Bye bye. That's Gladwin Mokgomotsi, former
UJ
graduate.
How many times are you going to say bye bye?
Say bye, okay. I want to hear you say bye. Be nice to him. That's Gladwin Mokgomotsi on UJFM Breakfast. He's a former UJ graduate student in economics, giving us a breakdown as to what's happening with our economy, which is always important to find out and to move into the realm of understanding our markets. We'll get into your new sports and traffic next. Before we get into that, by the way, one of the biggest indicators to see if your economy is growing is if people purchase new vehicles. Because what happens is about 90% of vehicle purchases happen to be on higher purchase, which is your credit line.
Yes.
So banks will finance you that 200,000 or 300,000 that you or 500,000 that you need for the car. And if you're a good payer, that attracts good investment, because they know for the next 5 years, Marshall, Odie or Andy will commit to their payments of 5,000 Rand or whatever it is that you pay every month for the vehicle. And that in turn creates economic growth as well.
Wow.
Nice. Okay. So yeah, just so you know. Not secondhand vehicles. So if you buy a secondhand car for 60,000, you're not helping anybody. We need you to buy a brand new car, and we need you to pay a lot of interest.
Jeez.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Okay. No secondhand for us. Okay.
No. Must be a brand new Mercedes C-Class that's over 600,000. You must park the car in your driveway, and your car must be worth more than your house.
We do not live in Midrand. Thank you.
All right. Why do you not have Camp Master in your lounge? We see you, Midrand.
And
we
the matching cooler box as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the matching cooler box, which doubles up as a fridge.
Of course.
Odie, what have you got for us this morning?